Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? Yeah, buddy. I hope everybody is doing wonderful and having a great day. It's Thursday, y'all. That means you got one more work day to go, or one day left for in the Sabbath, before Sabbath for some of you, and others just one day left and you have a couple of days off. For those that have, you know, you still working on your Wednesday, I'm sorry. We didn't mean to have all that going on today, but you know what? It's okay. We still love you. That's for sure. So how y'all doing out there, man? I hope everybody's having a great day. I am doing wonderful. Oh, by the way, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk. And today we have an outstanding show planned for you. And the topic of the show was Kim Con what? Basically, I'm talking about chemtrails and contrails, whatever you want to call them. And what are these things about? You know, what are they? Where do they come from? How are they figured out? And what are they dropping on us? You know, those are some of the things that we will be discussing today. Among other things, a few other topics, you know, that happened across my mind as I was, you know, doing a little work today, a little research, and there's so much going on around here that we do have to just try and figure out something. You know what I mean? Because that's what we do here. We try and figure it out. And if we can't figure it out, we keep talking about it until we do. And once we do figure it out, then we try and come up with some really, really good stuff. Let's see. We got somebody said last night of preseason football. That's right. And I sure feel sorry for them Falcons because my Jack's going to do it to them tonight. That's right. We're going to make them the birds real dirty. Anyway, so, you know, welcome. And of course, you know what? I must welcome back my co-host who's been busy away, you know. And as I told y'all before, I appreciate him sitting in for me that whole month I was out. But, you know, he did an excellent job. So, you know, let me bring my co-host in, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio, better known as What's going on, man? Welcome back. How you doing? And I want to tell you.
Oh, man, appreciate it. Happy to be back.
Good.
Happy to be back. How you been doing?
Oh, man, I've been doing wonderful. You know, I want to tell you publicly, man, you did an outstanding job while I was out, and I really do appreciate it. So thank you. Thank you. Nobody could ask for a better co-host, you know what I mean?
Appreciate it.
You know, you had your some deserved time off as well. I know you was doing other things, but that between me and you, but you still had your some time off, so that's good. Oh, that's good. So, other than that, so what else on your mind today? Because I know you usually have some good things going through your mind also, especially when we talking about certain things. So what you got set up for us today?
I think one of the big things that's on my mind in particular right now is our wonderful people, man, and our community. I think self-preservation is real big. You know, doing our own everything is very, very important. I mean, we've historically done it. I'm currently doing a lot of research on the history, our history, and a lot of different things that we, our people, have accomplished, not only pre-colonization, but after colonization. So I'm looking at a variety of things from the schools that we founded to the businesses that we've established in the midst of Jim Crow, in the midst of slavery, in the midst of all the other barriers that we had, that there's such a rich history of what we've accomplished and continue to accomplish in the midst of the odds and the opposition that we face. So I'm pretty optimistic, you know, about, you know, what we've done before and what we'll continue to do going forward.
All right. Outstanding. And, you know, I know, I thought I'd do a lot of research, but, man, I tell you, you kind of research rings around me sometimes, so I know you will be on point. So that's good, man. That's good. That's outstanding. I can't even complain about that. All right, y'all. Yeah, we talking chemtrails and contrails today. But you know what? As I was preparing for the show and, you know, doing my last bit of meditation before I come on the air, I realized, you know, even though we'll be talking about chemtrails and all this good stuff, I think I need to open the floor up to some other issues that's out there right now that, man, I tell you, look, I'm telling you, man, there's so much going on to, if we allow ourselves just to be limited to one thing here on this show, then there's a lot of things that will be missed and not put forth or put out there. So, you know, we have to do what we have to do. So, and I say all that to say, you know, even though chemtrails is the topic of the day, you know, there will be other topics that we will discuss and, you know, eventually working our way, you know, to the chemtrail itself. All right. So with that being said, you know, we also have to say hello to some new listeners, you know, out there in ATT/Cricket Land. Thank you for calling me today. I do appreciate it. Hey, y'all took care of me today, so, you know, I got to give you your shout-outs. You know, I really do. I really, really do. All right, so let's give our shout-outs out early here. Of course, you know, we got my co-host in the house, so, you know, the dynamic team is back together again. And I see we got Football Sheology. Well, that sounds interesting. We have Guest 1017, Guest 1441. I know who you are. And, of course, we have the one and only P. Yankee, you know, in the chat room as well. And, you know, it's wonderful to see a Football Sheology. That's interesting. You know, I don't know. I'm gonna see how much football knowledge Sheology has, because sounds interesting. But that's for another time, of course. Let's see what else. Let's see what else we got. Let's see, in the chat room, we got P. Yankee says, "You're all right, Eric. Stevie Wonder warned us about stuff like this topic." Yeah. You know, and a lot of those individuals, you know, back in the day, they were singing certain songs, and they were warnings, and they were also considered protest songs about certain things that were going on that Joe Public really wasn't aware of, was not aware of, you know. And, of course, many, you know, mistook them like, okay, here's another war anthem. Okay, it went number one, fine. But unless you knew about it, you know, you really didn't understand the songs, you know. It took me a while to figure out what Marvin Gaye was saying when he said, "What's going on?" What's going on? You know, "Mercy, mercy me." You know, I mean, you know, songs like that, it's just amazing, you know. And Stevie Wonder had a few of them himself, and of course, you know, there were others as well. Isaac Hayes, Barry White, you know, Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes. Am I telling on myself? You know, and unless you knew what was going on or had any idea about what was really happening, then you just thought it was a song that was popular, you know, and the words just were the words. And I always say, if you listen to a song and you think that song is, the beat is really hard, sometimes you have to separate the words from the beat. You know, everyone knows that if you make a song and it's going to be a hit, the first thing you have to have is a beat, a catchy beat, and a catchy hook line. Okay, those two things have to be there for a song to become popular. If you have those two, 9 times out of 10, most individuals won't even listen to the rest of the song because they only know the hook line and that beat. But sometimes you have to move away from those two areas and listen to the actual words of the song and the message of the song. And you'd be amazed at the messages that are being put out there about what is happening in today's society. Really. But, of course, you get caught up in twerking and popping it like it's hot and all these line dances. Isn't it amazing how as soon as a line dance come out and you turn around and look, and everybody is doing this line dance. Everybody. You know, they putting it on YouTube and Facebook. You got a group of people, they skipping and doing their thing. But as soon as something come out that they need to talk about, like Monsanto or pharmaceutical legislation, black kids killing black kids, white cops killing black kids, police brutality. What else? We have depression, mental illness. You don't see everybody jumping on that boat, do you? That they want to stay away from that because it's not popular, and they're scared. They're scared. Now, so a lot of these things are things that are spoken of behind closed doors. But you know what? It's time for us to start talking about it outside the doors. Outside the comfort of our homes, because that's what is really expected of you. For you to be afraid enough to where you will only speak about certain things behind closed doors. And heck, let's be honest, those of us in the black community, we know for sure that our ancestors, grandmothers, grandfathers, great-grandmothers, they took certain things to the grave with them. Should have been told. But because of that old belief that, you know, what happens stays with whoever it happened with or whoever knows that you will take it to the grave, you know, and I do believe in a lot of instances that's why a lot of our black parents and youth are headed in the direction they're headed. Because a lot of things they were supposed to be told were never told. And it was taken to the grave. You know, I look around and I go ahead and I know I should have got to a song for today, but I'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, I walk around and you know, I look at Facebook and what's some other things, Instagram and all that, and I'm looking at all this great things about I'm an Israelite and I'm this and I'm a that. But you know what's the first thing you're failing to realize? You're human. That's the first thing. You're human. Like I always say, we are so quick to identify ourselves with a label. With a label. We have to belong to something. Well, heck, why not belong to the human race? I mean, if you just have to. So-called man-made religions popping up out of everywhere. It's not bad enough that we already had enough man-made religions that caused enough chaos, confusion, death in the world. But now you have people going out there, and what you want to do, you want to make more man-made religion. Just because you say you are part of this religion doesn't mean you're a spiritual being. you're a spiritual individual. Because the same some of you people out there that claiming you this and that, you show more hatred than some of them brothers out there, than some of them brothers out there on the corner slinging. But you are the chosen ones. Let you tell it. You know, you are the chosen ones. Let you tell it. Because you feel that you have to be a part of something, have to have an identity to go along with the masses. Not only being the main mass. It could be your own little private group. Still a mass. But yet, you'll shoot down anybody who will say anything against what you believe in. Well, I don't think that's what it was supposed to be about. So like I've said here on the show quite often, you know, be what you want. Be whatever part of whatever group you want to be, if that's what it takes, okay? If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But the bottom line is this. Did you get the message? Did you get the message? Now, I know some of y'all say, well, what is that message, Mr. Talk? That message is to be respectful to each other. That message is to treat everyone as you would have them treat you. But no, you can't have that. Because then you consider yourself a punk. You consider yourself a walkover. You consider yourself someone that can't get no respect. Well, I'm here to tell you full of it. Stop putting yourself in groups and classifying yourself as this or that. Because the bottom line is, we all bleed red. Heck, even if we all bled green, that tells you something, doesn't it? Yeah, I know. There's young black men being shot down by cops in the street and so forth and so on. And I know we have black on black crime. And we got black on white crime, white on black crime, white on white policemen shooting Mexicans, white police shooting whites. And I shouldn't say Mexican, say Hispanic or Latino. And everything is just out of whack because someone says you have to belong to this group or you really don't exist. You have to belong to that group or you're living the wrong way. Well, who made you judge, jury? And some of you try and be the executioner if you thought you can get away with it. Well, who gave you that? Besides your own ideology that goes right along with your own man-made religion. It's interesting. A lot of y'all, you know, I know a lot of people won't even listen to this part of the show. That's fine. You don't have to listen to it. It's all good. It's all good. But, you know, this is something that just needs to be said. It was put in my mind and on my heart and in my spirit to say it. So I'm saying it. So, you know, if you upset about it, if you can kind of, you know, heat it, then maybe you're the one guilty of it. It's just interesting. It really is. And don't get it wrong. I have learned so much from just doing this show from all of you. I really have. P. Yankee, Joe, Mays, Beasley, Sister Ebony, Ebony, Guest 1441, and many more individuals. And that's why I am at this point now to where I can say these type of things. Closing your mind off to your so-called quote-unquote perfect religion. If you want the perfect religion, why don't you listen to others and combine the best of all? Would that be such a bad thing, y'all? Could we do that? Oh, heck no. You know why? Because there's always someone that wants to be in charge. There's always that someone who wants to be right. I have to be right. Theologies. They have to be right. Or I am nobody. And that is the type of thinking we need to get away from. We do. We need to get away from that. There's no need for that. There's not, you know, every day, we learn something new. We do. Whether we want to admit it or not, every day we learn something new. Now, you don't have to accept what you learn, okay? You don't. But you do learn something new. You know, but yet, we fall into that same old rut, day in, day out, day in, day out. Well, this is how things are. The Sabbath is on this day. Here are things are. God is this. God is that. And you know what the most frustrating thing about it is? Individuals are so caught up in titles and images to, they feel that the Most High, God, the Almighty, Jehovah, whatever you want to call him, has to be one color or the other. Why? Why? Because our own ignorance tells us it has to be. And yes, I say ignorance. Not fathom that it's any other way. One has to be right. Someone has to be right. You got a black Jesus. You have a white Jesus. You got a Latino Jesus. Hispanic Jesus. A Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, Cambodianese. Out of there. Really? Did you get the message? All this, and yet no one has said anything about the spiritual part of anything, because that doesn't exist to some people. You can worship an almighty God. You can worship an almighty Jehovah. You can worship anybody, the moon, the sun, the ants that crawl on the road, but you don't want to talk about anything spiritual. You just want to talk about the physical parts of it. The physicality. That's what makes everybody flow. That's what makes everybody flow. Because as long as we can put something physical to it, a physical point of view of to it, we are happy. Then we can justify our own arguments, our own ideologies, our own theories. Yeah, we can. And then you're happy with that until somebody challenges you. And, oh, my goodness, don't let that happen, because, oh my goodness, then you all, your back get all hunched out and you think you're just a bomb diggity, and you argue down, you will argue it down that you're right. Interesting concept, I would say. And we do it every day. We do this every day. We don't want to know anything. We really don't want to be, how can I say it? We want to be right. We don't want to think that possibly, there's more to it than what we have been told or what we think we know. People, life is too short to go around thinking like that. It is. Time is too short now. You know, it is. Do you will continue on. Don't let me stop you. Because I'm not going to stop having an open mind and researching and checking things out. I'm not, because, you know what, that's my right to educate myself. You know what I'm saying? That is my right to educate myself. But we won't educate ourselves. Oh, not on anything like that. You know what? With the new step dance coming out. Oh, we'll educate ourselves on who's about to be drafted number one in the NFL, NBA, in some instances, the NHL. Oh, we'll educate ourselves on the new type of car we want, with the rims and the stereo systems. Oh, we'll educate ourselves to death over stuff like that. Oh, because that's what we want to educate ourselves. That is what is important to us. But you won't educate yourself on the law. Yeah, you'd rather cry foul. Yeah, you'd rather cry foul. Treating us wrong. We, oh my God, do you see how they're treating that man? Do that. But you haven't educated yourself on any of that. How you know they're mistreating him from what you're looking at? And it's funny because so many of you sit out there on the internet all day long on Facebook or Instagram, whatever the mother things are, and you play a little dumb game, Candy Crush all day, Farmville, or whatever else it is. You do that. You even go so far as to research how you can play that game better, you know, how you can get more lives. But you won't even go and research what is the law. How can you protect yourself from the law? How can you acquire knowledge of the many different falsehoods we're being taught in this country? You don't care about that. You care about Candy Crush, Farmville, the latest line dance. The way we have always been. And for the most part, the way we should always be. Because that is the ideology that we have been taught. Technology, all this great technology, you think it's really was put here to make things better for us? You really think so? That's a fool's paradise. I'm going to tell you like it is. I know some of y'all say, well, Mr. Talk, I don't know how you can say that because you on here too. You're right, I am. But but I'm trying to help you understand. Some things just aren't as great as you may think they are. But some of you just too hard-headed to open up your minds and see and understand. That they got some of you by the balls. Got others of you by your vajayjay. You don't want to admit that, though. The internet was never meant to be a national, worldwide thing. Not for the normal joker. But somehow I came up with the idea, another distraction. Another way to take their minds off wanting to know real knowledge. Another way to keep them in the dark. Subservient. Keep them servants to us. Because if they get caught up in that, where they sit there and be online all night, you know, dating sites and playing games, that works just fine. Which means no one's out there seeking the truth, seeking the knowledge that you have the right to. That now you have the ability to collect. But you'd rather sit there and play Candy Crush, hidden treasure, hidden this, hidden that. I mean, that's what you'd rather do. Fine. And I'm saying all this to say, so when the next big major crisis come and you're out there and you're caught up in it and you don't see any way out because there isn't any, don't blame anybody but yourself. Y'all mad at me right about now, but it's okay. It's okay, because I got to tell it like it is. If you disagree with me, fine. 347-838-8622. www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. EricLessTalk@gmail.com. Tell me you don't agree with me. I'm not going to get mad at you. I may applaud you if you tell me the right thing. But what I'm saying is, you need to wake up. Start pointing fingers at everybody else and turn around and start pointing them fingers at yourself. That's right, at yourself. Because you can't correct anything else unless you correct yourself. And there's where the rubber hits the road. That's where the rubber hits the road, right there. You have to know you right. That you have the knowledge to definitely make a difference. Well, playing Candy Crush and all that is, hey, I don't know. I guess it gives you some type of knowledge. None is going to keep officers from shooting down individuals in the streets. I'm just putting it out there. Okay? I am. I'm just putting it out there. And I'm through, y'all. I'm through with my rant because I know y'all like, man, I'll be glad when he shut up. I'm through. I'm finished. And like I said, that was just something put in my spirit, and I had to get it out there. And it comes from just sitting back and watching certain things and doing certain things. And don't feel like you're by yourself. You know, there's so many people out there that are in the same boat. Black, white, green, red, orange. But they all bleed red. And they don't know what's going on either. Sit down and talk to some of them. And you will understand that you're not out there in the dark by yourself. You're not. But I tell you what. Eventually, you need to come out the shadows. But if you want to stay in the shadows, that's fine. Because eventually, that shadow is going to get dark. Then where are you going to be? In the dark. All right. You know what? I am so sorry, y'all. I just had to do that. I done kind of got off track now. Because usually I've been played the song of the day. I haven't even played the song today. So we'll say that for the end of the show. All right, because we're going to get on with this. This is a show from where we are. And I want to welcome Ebony and Sister Ngoni on to the show. Thank you, beautiful ladies, for joining us today. And a couple of more guests that I have. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, what I'm about to do is I'm going to open up a couple of lines. I was going to say, where did my co-host go? But I see him. Okay. Before I open up these lines, I'm going to give him a chance to make any comments on what has been said so far, you know, because that's my co-host. And I know he probably was researching and typing in things while I was speaking. So, Cloud, you there, man?
Oh, absolutely. I was definitely adding stuff to the chat room, but I'm definitely listening. And you know, self-reflection is important. You're right. It's funny because I've actually been doing a lot of that recently, doing a lot of, looking self-assessment, looking at myself in the mirror and really trying to continue to improve myself, because I think that's a lifelong lesson. I don't think the moment that you think you arrive personally, I think that's a bad place to assume that you arrive. And I think it's an ongoing process of growth and continuously being open to being, to learning information. And that's why I like, this platform, because so many people come in like yourself and they can give us, insight into things that we may not have researched or come across or encountered or experienced, and we can, take that information and reflect on that and do the research too, so that we can at least try to check it out for ourselves and not immediately denounce information. I think it's good to be open to information always, so that, because you can learn a lot if you're open-minded, I think. It's just my personal opinion.
All right. And that's it right there, man. That is it. That is it. Woo! Wow. All right, well, you ready to open up these lines, man, and see what they have for us? Should be interesting, I'm sure. Yeah. So we're going to bring Mr. P. Yankee in, and we're going to bring Triple One into the house as well. Welcome to the show. How y'all doing? What you got
Triple
for me?
One is here. Hey, Panky. Hey, Eric. Hey, Cloud.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
I'm going to have to add, because I got here about 10 minutes ago, about maybe 8 minutes ago, and Eric was talking about self-sufficiency and how blacks should look at themselves and stop, and not deny that racism is here, but that blacks should overcome racism, even though, yes, they've gotten the worst end of the deal almost ever, almost with the Indians. So what I'm going to do, because as everybody, well, Pianki, and Eric, so I've been coming to your show for about 2 years. I've always maintained the same type of philosophy. But what I'm going to do now, because I'm so freaking tired of this blacky-whitey shit, I am going to agree, and I did one show, well, as a parody, but I'm going to agree with whoever comes on your show now and any other show I go on. If they start talking this blacky whitey stuff, I'm just going to say, I'm going to jump on over and say, you know what, you're right, because whites are superior. That's why you can't make it. I agree with you. And whatever they say, that's what I'm going to say, and I know I'm going to get mad at that stupid. It's because whitey's keeping me down, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to say, nah, if whitey wasn't superior, you wouldn't be kept down. So let's see how that rolls, okay? Because I'm tired of this nonsense. I just want to get on with a show, that talks about either black or white issues without having to get super personal about it or get very defensive about it or talk about no black-white issue, talk about politics, relationships, even water skiing. I don't care. But that's what I'm going to do until Eric, you mute me. Okay?
Well, that's fine, Joe. However, I don't know what part you came in on, but I wasn't just talking about the blacks. I was talking about everybody that bleeds red.
That's
who I was talking about.
You said red, green, any stripe, but it's not whites that are complaining, except for the white nationalists. And they're about as stupid as the blacks because they're always talking about how blacks taking our jobs and things. Please. So, but whatever complaining, freaking, but I'm only talking about blacks now because blacks mostly come to your show. And 90% of the shows on BTR are black, and more than a few of them now, for some reason, are getting on this bandwagon about whitey's keeping me down. You know, whatever the topic is, whitey's keeping me down. So so I'm going to say that. Now, of course, the white nationalists, they're about, like I said, they're just as stupid as the black whiner. Because if you can't get a job and you're white, or somehow blacks and Mexicans are taking your position, holy jeez, you with the white legacy and you can't grab a part of America, you're really fucked up.
Okay. That's interesting. wow, Joe. I guess. Interesting. Yeah, you know, sister, go and say, Joe, you're generalizing. Stop it, please. Okay. So let me bring Chris in because I know Chris has a rebuttal for you. I'm quite sure of it. All right, welcome to the show, Chris. What's going on, man? Chris, are you there? Hello. Unmute yourself.
Yeah, there we go. Hello?
Okay, hello. There you go.
Hey, how's this? Hey, what's going on, y'all? What's up with the what's the show all about here? I didn't even hear what the show is about. I just wanted to get on real quick and get started about what the show is about.
You press one and ask for your debit card number.
Huh?
Did you put in your debit card number?
No. I was just saying, basically, man, you know, we need to, you know, come off all this. I'm right, you on this color, that color. And we need to basically realize that we all basically one. And unless we educate ourselves, and get away from this foolishness, then, you know, you can't blame anyone but yourself for not knowing how to take care of yourself, how to survive in this so-called world.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. A little bit more sense than what the last caller was talking about. I really couldn't, you know, grasp a hold of what they were saying. But, yeah, you know, just educate ourselves. And what's meant for you to know, learn about it, and move on. You know, just that simple, I guess. You know, learn what you can to educate ourselves to do better. Yep, that's about it. Okay, so just learning. You're basically just saying to educate ourselves so we won't be caught up in a lot of conspiracies and theories and, you know, and just anybody tell us anything and we'll just believe it and go with it. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Well, thank you. That's what I'm saying. You know.
Sure.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know, I am aware, you know, that there are some individuals that are just not going to do that. You know, I think that's what Joe is saying also. You know, some individuals, you know, they're going to be caught up on the black and white thing. And, you know, that's like it's the only two so-called races that exist on the face of the earth. And it's not actually, you know, we have so much, you know, so much to learn and so much to do. We just don't do it, you know, because if you cut all of us, we're red inside. We're going to bleed red. I don't care who the heck you are. You bleed red. Okay. And
that's basically just what I was saying. I'm saying that people have it rough no matter who you are. And yeah. Educate yourself, as you were saying, so that you know how to get ahead and stop listening to other people who are telling you you can't. You've got a businessman on the show right now, Pianki. Chris, you also have your own business, I believe. So, mm-hmm. But people aren't listening. They're going, nah, Whitey got me down again. I can't go anywhere. Whitey done did it to me. So I'm going to go along with it. I said, well, but I'm going to make it very, very absurd. Wait. Wait till they come on the show again. Wait.
Oh, okay. At first he was breaking up. I couldn't hear what he was saying. Okay, yeah. It's every now and then that happens here. But they was...
Now and then?
I hear what he's saying now. Okay.
All right, so you understand what he's saying, right? All right, hold on. Hold on. Let me bring Mr. Michigan in. You see, I must have hit a good one today. All right, Mr. Michigan, welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah.
What you got for me?
What's up, brother? Well, I always have to bring a little bit of controversy.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Michigan?
Hey, what's up? What's up, bro? Listening to, what was that, Joe? That Joe just speaking?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think... when you're talking about the condition of black folk, particularly in America, I don't think black folk highlighting racial issues is a way of saying that they're appearing that there's only two races on the planet. I don't think nobody believes that. But whenever I hear a white person, well, let's get over it, and Whitey holding me down, just put that in your rearview mirror and zoom past it. Any black would be a very foolish to not consider exactly, where they are in this country. And, from an individual perspective, I think everybody would agree that, individuals should apply themselves and see, how far they can get. But when you're dealing with a culture, Europeans can be individuals because it's their culture. They're the majority population. So when you have a functioning culture, you don't have to have a group consciousness. And I think we went over that several times on the show. But when you are, in fact, a socially engineered, subjugated group, you would be doing yourself and your next generation great damage by not equipping them, to have the correct political and racial consciousness. So, I don't ever want to hear white people making light the plight of blacks as a group. In fact, white is holding blacks down. That's a true statement. So it wouldn't be untrue to make that statement. That is a very true statement. So I just had to get at Joe just a little bit. That's
okay.
All.
Okay. So has anybody ever heard me say, get over slavery? No. Secondly, nobody's denying racism. I've already said that thousands of times. But do you believe that if the black exert themselves, learn, try harder, can they succeed?
As a group in this country, no. No.
As
not
a group,
a substantial
no.
group.
But only individually.
No. Yes. You have
the only the gifted individual.
The
gifted individual, so the rest of the black people are being held down by the superior race.
The who?
The rest of the black people who can't make it because they're being held down by whitey. They're being held down by the superior race.
Well, you're living in a European culture. And so, of course, if you're going to, all cultures have an underclass, and if it's a European culture, of course they wouldn't make themselves the underclass. So, I mean, we don't have to play with words.
I'm not going to play with the words because you're saying as an underclass you can't get ahead. Only individuals who are gifted.
Chase Sapphire.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, so for me, Joe, all I'm saying, man, is that, you know, it's and I'm not saying that you're intentionally being sleight of hand, but whenever I hear, you know, a white say, oh, this idea of whitey holding me down, just poo-poo that away, and that's not the case anymore. That is, in fact, the case, and I just have to, you know, point it out when I hear.
Yeah, but whitey wouldn't be holding you down unless you were inferior and they were superior, right?
No, it's that, we're talking about this being a European culture.
Well, yeah.
And so we're not
European
talking about
culture, which is holding you down.
So we're not talking about inferior or superior.
Well, I'm talking about it because otherwise, why wouldn't you be held down?
Because you're living in a European culture,
which then,
and
as a result of their superiority, is holding down the inferior race.
No, it's not their superior. I mean, you have.
Then how do you get held down?
Because you have the numbers, because you the institutions that develop a culture.
You also have the
levers,
EEOC,
you've got laws.
This is a nonsensical argument. Okay.
Hold, bro. You control the levers of control within your culture, not have anything to do with you being superior. This is your culture.
Uh-huh. Well, you've got the EEOC. You've got the government on your side. If you believe that you're the victim of racism, you can always go to the government, and you can always use their particular resources, which are mammoth, and people have. So when people have gotten ahead in this culture without the government, there are people who are using the government. So if you're being held down when you have those type of resources at your disposal, then you must be inferior.
Listen, man. There's absolutely no state in the United States of America where blacks are the majority population. It
doesn't matter. The governmental laws are now in favor of political correctness, civil rights,
and if you
can't use them in case somebody's discriminating against you, then it's
The government laws are not there for minorities. The government laws is out there to make sure that a white
that
culture
being
is maintained.
Down?
Huh?
That you're being kept
The government
down?
Is set up to make sure that white culture is maintained, the status quo is maintained. What are you talking about?
What status quo?
White rule.
White
culture.
Rule. So how does whitey rule over you? How does whitey keep you from getting what you want?
What do you mean as an individual?
Yeah.
That just depends on what I'm going after. Of course, we're not talking about can I go and enroll in college. Of course I can go and enroll in college as an individual.
Can you also start a business as an individual?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then how is whitey keeping you down?
I
wanted to say something and touch on his question. How is whitey ruling as an individual, me as a black man, or the black community? Whitey will give us freedom. Whitey will give the black community justice. Go through the court system. Whitey will give the black community, make it seem like because we're going to the same colleges and schools that white people are going to, that we're equal. But we will never get that equality. Whitey, whoever that is, or what we're going to use, whitey, I prefer to call the system, a system, will never have black and white people to be equal. Not in this lifetime and not in the next 400 years. So
what kind of equality are you talking
about? I'm not a person that's going to be diplomatic and go around like this guy is doing, very intelligent guy, telling you about the European culture system. I'm going to just, I'm just go up to the front row and just tell everyone that
white
America will not accept.
Won't be equal.
Excuse me. White people are holding black people. White people are holding black men and women down for equality. Okay.
In what way?
See, I'm not gonna go into.
You're not
going to
go into specifics.
Anything that black people are trying, and I don't know why, anything that black people are trying to come into the American system and be equal about.
It's not going to work.
From politics to religion to businesses, it will not happen. Now, anything you say is really entertainment, sir, Joe, there will never be equality.
There's no such thing as equality in the first place. There's freedom.
Chris just said he's seeking to enroll in college. He can start his own business. Can you enroll in college? Yeah.
Listen.
No, there will never be equality for black people in America.
You're not asking a question because you're sidestepping it because you know your argument is fallacious.
Do you agree, Joe? Do you agree that there would never be black? There would never be equality for black people in America. Do you agree?
Never be equality? You mean like 100 years from now? They couldn't be equality.
Do you agree? All you got to do is answer the question. Yes.
I'm refining it, that
there will never be black equality in black America, or even a black equality for themselves? Do you think America will allow that for black
people to be independently become millionaires?
I can have a billion dollars in my bank account and still not equal to the American system. Money ain't everything, man. I got money.
What you're talking about, and your neighbor's got $100,000, and you've got black people to the other listeners.
If you can't point, if you cannot put an object to this equality, whether that object is the accumulation of objective things, if you can't put an object.
There will never be equality in nothing, from a toilet to a basketball court.
That's too much, Dave. It's too much talking over each other, and y'all know I don't do
tell
that.
Tell me when I can go, Mr. Talk.
All right.
I know what I said is a little controversial. It's hard for people to deal with. It's a hard pill to swallow, but it's true.
What I'm saying is, go on and say it, and then let everybody have the chance to speak, and everybody respond accordingly. Okay.
I'm saying that there would never be equality for the black man and woman here in America, and America would not allow it to ever take place, or even for black men, America would not allow it to even take place, no matter what color the president is, including Mr. Obama. There will never be equality in the individual quality, independent quality for the black man or woman. It will never take place, not in this lifetime, in the next century. No matter how much money the Oprahs or the Michael Jordans or those blacks that makes a lot of money, they still don't have equality.
But here's what I'm about to add to the conversation, and then we're going to let Pianki get his in. All right? It's simple. You know, everybody's talking about equality. Let me say this. Why are you trying to be equal to anybody? You should be trying to be better than anybody that you're around, because that is the ultimate, is to be better, bigger and better. Not equal, because if you're trying to be equal, then that's telling me you're not trying to be no more than the next guy, which means you're not accomplishing anything. I also said that America will not let
the black man and woman have their own equality. We are a slave, and that's all. In their eyesight, we're good for it.
Hold on, Cloud. I understand what you're saying, brother. I really do. But if we get off these candy crushes and these line dances and get out there and educate ourselves freely like they are, we can do, you know, on top of the ones that are going to school. Brother, we can do a whole lot. But see, we are so caught up in the distractions that we are given, that are placed in front of us. That's why a lot of us don't go anywhere, or we'll never be, as you say, whatever you just said, because we aren't. We are too caught up in the negativity that is in the distractions that are placed in front of us. Like I said before.
Okay, well, what about the ones that are being positive?
No. Wait a minute.
We want to focus on what negative black people are doing. It's a lot of positive people out here doing great. And they ain't got no equality.
Listen. Because they don't have they shouldn't have equality. They should be doing better. They should not be going for equality. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And that, I think that is the word that has everybody just so freaking confused, and it's equality. What you going
because
for equality?
There's no such thing. There's no such thing as equality.
But, well, we should separate.
You know what
America.
Hold on for a minute, because I promised P. Yankee to get his in. Go ahead, P. Yankee.
Now, as I said before, if you measuring, if your definition of equality or your sense of equality is based on money, is based on material things or whatever, then what else are you talking about? Are you talking about a pseudo feeling? And as Eric said, you shouldn't be trying to be equal anyway. You're supposed to surpass. I don't blame white folks. I wouldn't give away my equality, neither the way it sounds like it's being defined here. Nor would I blame the Asian. Nor would I blame the South Korean or the Bosnian. This is about competition in this world. And I think the reason why come we talk about equal is because when you relating to equal, you look to one side, you got somebody there to grab hold of. So maybe it's the fact that blacks want to be equal because they want to look to their left or right and see a white man so that in case something come up, they can reach over and grab hold of them rather than looking behind them at them and keep on stepping. Come on now. We had a person by the name of Satchel Paige that explained that a long time ago. And I can give you many cases where you can take black person for white person, and economically and socially and even culturally, the black persons are ahead.
Listen,
all I want to say.
What we're talking about, and the Pompeyanki is right on this point. In a capitalist society, the concept of being equal, it doesn't even exist. Now, when most blacks mention the term equal, you have to understand what they're trying to say. What they're trying to say is they're saying we want to have access to the resources and what this culture has to offer. We want to have the access as equal as whites, which you will never get.
It's not true.
I would never give it to you. I would never give it to you as well.
It's
Let
not
me
true.
Give an example. Let
well,
me
go
give
ahead.
An example. Let me give an example. You got a prima facie example here with the calls, the cries for justice, equality. See, these are all ambiguous words. See, and so the call for justice, right? But these words have no substance to them. Being equal, this is what blacks know. You cannot access what this culture has to offer and have the free access as a white. I'll give you examples. Any institution, whether it be in their hiring practices, well, the studies have been done. Whites hire whites, blacks hire blacks. So if you're talking about the Fortune 500 companies, well, there are no black Fortune 500 companies. So if you were going to go into the field of some type of executive position, right, this would be an this would be something that the culture has to offer. Well, you can't access that realm like a white can. The system. You can't access, you don't have the same access to the justice system as a white does. The preferential treatment just because of race is there. So this concept of we want equality, there's no such thing in any capitalist society. You have to have an underclass. Somebody has to be an underclass in a capitalist. Name one capitalist society where there's no underclass. Now,
well,
if you
Michigan
run a society,
man,
would you make yourself the underclass, man? And you control
well, no,
you're
not
making assumptions.
Michigan, man, you said that there's no black Fortune 400 countries. I think you said,
there is.
It's one here.
I said,
which
no
one did you say?
I said no Fortune 500 black countries. But now,
well,
if you
wait a minute. You have one here in St. Louis area.
If you're going to, now, but see, this is what you do, Bianca. Now, you would take that small nuance to disregard the bigger question that we're talking about. Can black
you have one in the Houston
everything?
Area.
Okay, you see. And then you
want me to say some more?
Well,
huh?
Well,
so
listen,
you should make statements
really
like that, brother.
That you are.
That's what gets me. Y'all act like every black person in the country is doing terrible. That's just not true.
Who said that, bro?
Now, I agree with you that there needs to be more. Hey, we got a community here that the average household of this black community is about $450,000.
Okay, but
so
what
come on now, and I'm just talking about what I know. So to say that it's not happening, it's just not true. Now, granted, I agree with you. There's a lot more that needs to be done, and there's a lot. You know, I make money while I'm asleep, and I get up when I get done sleeping. So I don't like to throw myself out there. Matter of fact, I'm not. But you're talking to one.
Okay, you're not probably not the only one that's doing well on the phones. But you're almost acting like Joe. You're scapegoating the issue.
No, you're the one that's deflecting because
the
35,000.
Okay, Michigan man.
Hold on. All right, everybody, hold on. Let's bring another point of view into this thing. Let's bring Michael in. Mr. Allfax himself.
Well,
see what he has to
answer.
Go ahead,
right,
Mike.
Well, first of all, we're not talking about individual successes. We're talking about the overall picture of the black community in this nation.
Correct.
We're talking about overall. Right. And I will never, in Pionk, I have children, I have me, never tell a black person that they cannot be ambitious. I got
correct.
That. When racism comes, because we can't live our lives paranoid about racism, when it comes, we attack
correct.
It, we challenge it, affirmative action, we need to go, because you were talking about competition, Pionk, come on. Some people, I heard a person tell me that he never been on an interview because he always got hooked up. Most people get jobs for people that they know. Now, you know, as Pionki, as a black business person, even on contracts, I'm not finished. Even on contracts, you as a black business owner, depending on the skills and the specifications of the job and dealing on the application, you may have more white employees than black employees, and you are a black business. Those white employees may still have interracial, do watermelon jokes at the job, blaming black people for stealing equipment, all that stuff. Even the electricians, carpenters, even on this big scale contracts, and you know this. But when we talk about blacks being better, stop that. You know, I was on a job, and a white person told me that I'd never seen anyone do work so well. I never knew. Basically, he was saying he never knew, saw a black person work so well. Don't do that. I knew what the fuck he was trying to say. But when you try to say black people are being better, no. Why? If in this society, why should black people strive to put extra stress on themselves to be better than somebody, what they never can do overall? Be yourself. If you need to go to work, if you need to get there 15 minutes earlier, don't be saying, I'm doing it because I'm black. No, you're doing it because of you. Don't try to have, because it's too much extra stress in this society. Why should I have to work extra harder just to be equal to somebody who just says, you know what, I live in this society. I can just be me. I don't have to put this extra stress on me because I'm in this culture. No, that's too much stress for an individual. We shouldn't do it. Now, I agree. This equality thing, we need to talk about affirmative action. Look at the technology. 2% for Africans, Hispanics and African Americans in technology businesses. It's crazy. When we're talking about a construction, when we talk about jobs, there are certain things that we must control. But it shouldn't be. I'm just saying, you have over 12 million Caucasian millionaires, and you have less than 40,000 Black African millionaires in this country. That number is totally crazy. When we built this country, at least we can have 10% of that. At least a million Black millionaires, that would be good, because that would go on the population growth, or it would equal our population to their population. So it's tough. I'm not saying be ambitious. I'm not saying not go to school, not be ambitious. But it's tough out here. Do what you got to do. But be aware, people are going to try to stop you because they're trying to get their family members in that job. It's tough out here. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't try extra harder. That's not right.
Oh. Well, Mr. Tom,
no, it is right. You should work. This stuff about being equal is a bunch of crap. Why would you want to be equal?
To say something that,
why should I work 12 hours a day when a white boy or a white person only have to work 8 hours a day, and then since I'm working hard in overtime, I seem like I'm equal. Man, that's crazy. That's too much stress. That's racism.
My competitors, if one of my near steel erector competitors do $19 million gross in 1 year, I'm going to try to do 25 the next year.
Individual.
Right. I wanted to say something. Too many talking at one time, God dang it. Don't make me mute you.
I know.
I would not have a problem doing that, all right? Now, and you know what I'm about to do? I'm about to play my commercial, let y'all calm down a moment, and then we'll be back. Who said they had something to say? I think that was my co-host.
Chris.
And who? Yeah. So I'm going to let my co-host get his in also, because, see, y'all trying to try me today. And I don't want that to happen. So let me get this commercial out of the way. And when we come back, we'll let Cloud get his in, and then we'll go from there.
Talk is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/letstalk, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service.
audibletrial.com/letstalk. They have over 150 different titles, and audio books from fiction, sex, history, whatever you can think of. They got a title for it and it's an audio book. Just go there, sign up for a 30-day free trial, get a free audio book, and go from there. You know, and plus you'll be also supporting the show, all right? So if you get a chance and you haven't done it, please go by audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, now we're back to an interesting topic we're talking about right now, equality, Black, and, oh, man, we so much going on. So we're going to let Cloud, I think Cloud has something he wanted to add, and then we're going to go from there. Go ahead, Cloud.
I didn't, but I do now, definitely.
Okay. It must have been Chris. I'm sorry. But he dropped him, so hopefully he'll call back in. All right, but go ahead, Cloud.
I would say, because I love where the discussion has been going. You know, I know that we have to continue to, you know, observe how, you know, the envisions of both. When we look at history, when we were enslaved, for example, you know, people emerged into plans and actions once they escaped that the same bondage that they were held in. And so there was this eagerness to not only attend schools in the aftermath of the Civil War, but we've also learned that, you know, that often in our history what has been overlooked is our contribution, whether it was to formulating what today is considered the public school system, or whether it's the cooperative movement, which was, you know, also championed by us because of the many barriers of past, of yesteryear, and current day that we face the opposition. So to not acknowledge the racism or the supremacy, the systematic supremacy that exists, you know, that would, I mean, the history speaks for itself. I mean, you look at, sure. We were talking about old stuff, and we started with just looking at the black farmers, for example. And if you go back to the 1800s, you know, where that whole idea of the acres, 400 acres and a mule concept came from was when President Abraham Lincoln at the time, after the war, he provided land, which was owned by the Confederate soldiers and slave owners at that time, and it was provided for those who were now free of slavery to use, and they had to rent, I believe, the land, and they could, you know, earn a living, sell crops, farm it, harvest it, feed themselves, and so on. And then after the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln, we know that with the rise of Andrew Johnson as president, he reneged that particular bill, and he passed another bill that returned the exact same land to the former Confederate soldiers and owners of the exact same land. So the land was restored to them. So if we trace constant examples from yesteryear on up to today, what we'll see is case study after case study, example after example of not just your typical bigotry, you know, the stuff that people often argue about on the surface. You know, they don't like the way I look. They passed me up on a job. Okay, let's eliminate that part. But let's hone in on the policies, because that's where we get into the meat. When we start to see policies pass, from redlining to public to housing practices, all these various legal, legislative moves that cause people not to receive loans, to have to pay more for the loans that they receive, legislation that kick people out of options and opportunities for contracts with government to get these subsidized contracts with various groups internationally to have access to the capital that flows in here internationally, where they could sell crops, manufacture products, and sell them to various government agencies and companies abroad. You know, when you have different tariffs and things of that nature popping up, I'm sure many of the business guys out here would tell you that can create a big problem when you're paying more money for a variety of different things, when you can't get the same interest rates for your loans, when you can't get that loan, when you can't get that access to capital from that bank, when you can't tap into that government money that's streaming, and when you have systematic plans that are installed to defeat competition, not because Walmart is better, not because so-and-so construction company has such a great business ethic or effort, and they just have the smartest and brightest and best people who are well-equipped, taught, trained, and have all the skills and assets to be the best of the best, but because they're losing because they don't have the subsidies. They're not getting the free of tax land. They're not getting, you know, not only getting given free land and money, tax money from taxpayers who can't get a job in the same place. So you know, when you look at all these things historically, this is documented. We could go text by text, line by line, precept upon precept, but that would take a long time for me to do that. But what I'm saying is that the history is there, and you don't have to look far to find it. And you, what you see is example after example of realistic, real-time issues.
All right, give me five various, examples. Give me five
yeah,
examples.
Yeah, various that stop people. So I agree with, you know, what people were saying on both sides. It's not an attack on a specific, you know, anybody, any race, class, or whatever.
Of course it is.
What you can do is you can't ignore the, not just the past, but present day issues that you see over and over that present a case for those who talk about being opposed or having barriers or even talking about inequality consistent. Because when you live it, you know what I mean? When you live it, when every day you're reminded what your color is, when every day you're reminded that someone has certain legislative advantages, certain capital advantages, certain systematic advantages. It's not that you want. I put a lot of them in the chat room, so I didn't have to, you know, take up too much room. But I just gave some examples as well with President Abraham Lincoln. And
no,
I also,
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
also
now.
Talking about I also talked about the bill in the 1990s, which I also posted in the room, where it discussed the Agriculture Department and the discrepancies that the black farmers faced in the 1990s.
I read about the black farmers sued,
yeah, the
and
big
I think they got the millions of dollars back.
Give me examples of how, let's say, for example, you got Michigan on the line, you got Chris on the line.
I agree with the Pickford one and Pickford two suit, but Obama did make some adjustments on that, and one of the things that I did commend him for. But this other stuff, nobody is going to give you. Let me ask you a question: how is it that these black Nigerians come here and do so well?
Okay.
Multi-degree,
okay,
make up
with
African immigrants, make up. One reason maybe because you can't get equality, you don't give people equal time to get their point across.
Hold on. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr. Michigan, because I know Chris wanted
to
say something also. But
yeah,
go
I
want
to finish.
Hold your thought.
First of all, there's no argument to the facts. So I don't even know what we're discussing now. I think the issues that Bianca are bringing up are ancillary issues. They have nothing to do with the core argument that was made. Now, let me just give you, this is for Joe. Do you know that every trade organization that has ever been started by Europeans, there has been a sort of a sister organization started by blacks? You got your Black Firefighters Association. You got your Black Nurses Association. Do you know that the number one reason when you ask these organizations, and that's across every industry, the Black Firefighters Organization, they weren't just twiddling their thumbs one day and said, hey, let's just start a Black Firefighters Organization because there's a white one. They started them because they could not access that industry. Same thing with the Black Nurses. And you can go across. So now that's by default. That's an answer for you by default. Why would blacks have to start ancillary organizations for every industry within America that whites have one for?
Well, they
I can tell you
a
reason
for
that.
They weren't just wasting time. Now, and
I can tell you a reason for that.
You
want me to tell you?
Wait a minute. You want me to tell you why they did that?
I know unions very well.
Okay, well, let me speak.
My iron workers are earning about $96 an hour.
Yeah,
I know
right,
very well. You want me to tell you why?
Can he say it? No, because let him just speak what he got to say.
He already said it. Otherwise, all of you are going to keep whining for the next 2 hours.
Well, I don't know.
Wow, we're whining now. That's what you think blacks are doing, right? You think blacks are whining, Joe. You wait till I get my time.
Wait, I got something to say. Thank you. Hold on. Thank you. Go ahead, Chris. Well, Mr. Michigan, where are you finished?
One quick point.
Okay, one quick point.
There are over 50,000 lobbying institutions that run Washington. So just to Joe's point of the blacks have the government, the lobbying organizations run the government. There is not one, I think there's one or two black lobbying organizations. They could never match what those interest groups are able to give to those lawmakers to make certain that the status quo is kept. So, you know, Mister, I don't even know why don't black people get together and fight over what we're arguing? What is the point to this conversation? I mean, because the facts are there. So I don't even know. I don't even know what Joe and Bianca. What are we talking about?
Well, that's my question to all of you.
Well, what are we talking about? Let me tell you why I come black.
I want to say something because after he was done talking, when Mr. Michigan finished talking,
this guy keeps jumping in,
talking about, let me tell you. Okay. Originally, no matter what you say, some people will just not be satisfied with a correct answer or whatever you got to say to people.
Correct.
Let's get that out the way. Originally, the caller, this guy, Joe, I think his name is, asked, what is Whitey doing to suppress black people?
Especially the whiners on the line. Yeah.
Okay, can you be quiet?
No.
I said, what's going on? What I said is they will never... I'm paraphrasing, what I'm saying is that white people will never give black people equality. And everybody just ran off with it. Listen, talking to everybody was saying, why should we? I'm not saying that, black people should be at the doorstep of white folks begging for equality. And that's true. What I'm saying is also white people will never give black people equality, or when black people try to get their own equality, here in America, it won't happen.
Correct.
There are people that are doing well and successful and are black millionaires, and some will say, well, those blacks did it. What's wrong with the rest? They still don't have equality. They have money from here to Mexico. I get it. Good idea. They did great. You know, they're professors, they're PhD, they own even basketball stadiums now. Property in neighborhoods. They still don't have equality. That's all I was saying. And when black people should try to get their own equality, in which you should, even animals know how to do that. Hey, I keep knocking at the door.
So what's your definition for equality?
And nobody, excuse me. Damn, there he go again.
Even when a person,
the average person with common sense, with reasoning, sees a situation, say, I keep knocking on this door for equality, and they're not letting me in. Well, I will go elsewhere. That's what black people need to do, and try to have their own sense of dignity and independence instead of trying to be equal with America, because it's not going to happen. That's all I was saying.
Mr. Tall, can I give my monologue now?
I'm not
No. All facts are up next, I think.
He said he was after me.
Well, let him go. I'll pass the mic to him, and then I'm at the Bianchi. Go ahead, Bianchi.
Is that all right, you, Mr. Talk?
I guess so. Go ahead. I'm just paying for the
Well, show. Here's the point for your last call. You got to get it in your mind that all blacks are not the same in the United States. They are not the same. And we should stop trying to bunch us all up in the same paradigm. Sorry, they are not. You know, there were some blacks that was pro Officer Wilson in South St. Louis in front of the camera telling the news all the reasons why he was right. You had blacks in North St. Louis on the camera telling all the reasons why he was wrong. You just got to realize today that that's the way it is. Another thing, what is this definition of equality? I don't understand it. Tell me what it is. It's nothing. I don't think that – I know – you whatever you got whites doing in the United States, you got blacks that's doing it also or can do it also. Maybe they don't want to. And Michigan, man, I'll tell you the reason why I come in – in your firefighters or police or some of your organizations that the blacks come together and they form their own thing, just like they got the historical black universities and colleges, just like they got the National Society of Black Engineers, just like they got
Come on,
understand what
come
I'm saying?
The
they do it because that way that they can take resources and they can directly, specifically to black people. All ethnic groups do that. Look at your scholarships that's specifically for Bosnians. Look at your scholarships that's specifically for Daughters of the Confederate, who, by the way, also give scholarships to the to black students also.
Advocacy.
So come on, man. They do it because they want to be their own. I don't blame them. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that.
It's for advocacy. It's for political reasons.
Well, absolutely.
Now,
did not the Koreans do it in New York when they went to Dinkins in order to get the street vendors off the street that was competing with their storefront businesses?
Can I say something? He's changing the argument again, man. He's changing the argument.
Thank you for the time, Mr. Eric.
All right, now it's
a bunch of rhetoric. I'm going to say something real quick. Okay, now. It's going to let me take me 90 seconds. Listen, Pionki, I understand that all black peoples don't think alike, but what Chris is saying is no matter how much money is, you're the black, some white people are always going to consider you as a black person. That's what he was saying. We all have that in common. And you know we're all human beings. We're all the human species. But race is real in this world.
Mike. Let me you said some white people going, okay, so what?
Okay. Let's just go with the conversation. I want to finish. Listen to me. I'm looking at the overall. Let's look at technology, and let's look at how the African and African-American, those a certain group that is in power, totally kept us out of technology. Look at the gun. That was technology, totally ruled the African, enslaved them, right? So when it came to that technology, they beat us up with it. Look, when we were picking cotton for this nation, when they mechanized the cotton fields, we were out of jobs. They didn't give a fuck about none of our slaves. We did not work on those machines. We did not work in the factories with us. We went up to the north to work in the factories. Those white immigrants got mad at the black people for trying to come and get the jobs. That's how we got on welfare. Now let's look at the 60s. The computer age come on. And listen, all of them in California, all those major, University of California, all those great white communities, we were last to get in technology. That's why 2% of all technology companies hire African Americans. It's a shame, and we give them billions and billions of dollars. Look at that. So what I'm saying is, this has been a society where you stunt the growth of people. You don't say we have this new technology. Let's bring everybody in as diverse, so we can create it together. What they do is they master it together. They don't want people to work with them, and then we get the last little crumbs. We get the less education because they already put. I mean, it is what it is. Having said that, we as black Americans, we need what I just said, take that frustration, get more in technology, more in STEMs, make our president, and guess what? We need to knock on that door. When they don't hire us, then we can go about our business, because it's going to be something working around black people. Some people don't want to work around black people, Bianchi. Look at the numbers. So I'm saying, knowing that, you cannot say that people don't try to hold other people back. They have their biases. Having said that, we still can be ambitious. That's all I was saying. They hold us back in many situations, Bianchi.
What's wrong with some people not wanting to be around black people? Heck, it's a lot of them I don't want to be around.
But I'm talking about working, though. I'm talking about making money together.
I always hired people, so I can't say that. But I have fired white women unjustly, by the way. I have fired
don't
black men when I found out they had.
Don't say that, Bianchi.
I'll say
that's
it.
That's nothing to brag about. Don't say that. Keep that to yourself.
Man,
I don't
listen,
think you fired somebody unfairly.
You
sound like you're proud of
that.
What's that to be proud of?
You
okay,
said
whoopee.
You fired somebody when you found out that they was married to a white woman. That's crazy, Bianchi. In a racial relationship. Come on now.
What the hell? They ain't nothing to be proud of.
That's not
that.
Right.
What's the deal?
I know,
deal?
Bianchi. Don't say that, bro.
All right, let me know when all you guys are finished so I can get on my 30-minute mile walk.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay.
Glad to have you here.
Thanks. You guys don't like white people not liking it. I don't really give a fuck. The thing is, I don't understand your definition of equality because you didn't give it. Your definition of equality.
I gave you one.
Okay, give me one.
I gave you
30
one.
Seconds. Go ahead.
I gave you plenty.
No, you gave me plenty. Give
I
me,
gave you
repeat it again.
You just didn't want to accept it.
All right, so again, you're claiming you to be dumb, or actually you are dumb, I don't know. The thing is...
Okay, right.
The thing is, look, I got 30 minutes to curse you guys out anytime I want, right now.
Okay.
Here's the thing. You guys are
you still ain't saying nothing.
You guys are whiners. You cannot give examples of how Whitey has kept you two down. You can't give examples except historically... how whites have kept blacks down up until about the 60s. You've had two generations to get ahead. You got the government to help you when you fail. You got colleges, high schools, et cetera, to educate you. If you're getting a lousy education, then after you graduate, then you go back to get your equivalency exam or you study on your own and you learn employable skills or you become a businessman. If you say you don't have access to the fucking resources, you're wrong. Because legislation has been passed. One of them was, what was it? I forget the name of the bill.
He's enjoying this.
That
was really enjoying this. He was trying to kick down black people. I can hear his voice. He enjoys this.
I have been finished. Hey.
You don't even make sure
he's enjoying
this argument, man.
Why don't you let the man speak? Weave was quiet and listen to all facts.
He's enjoying kicking down black people. And
that's another thing.
I mean, you guys acting like the one that Mike said that don't like to work with black folks.
The thing is, a lot of whites don't like to work with white people. A lot of blacks don't like to work with white people. Get the fuck over it. The thing is, you can't found your own business because you don't know how. You don't know how to get employable skills because you're not working hard enough.
Let Joe finish complaining.
Let him finish. Well, of course you don't want me to finish because I blow your fucking arguments right out of the water every time. You're not doing it because you're not smart enough. You're not industrious enough. Plain and simple, both of you. Now what? That was about quadruple, quintuple, okay.
There we go.
Here's the thing. You stepping in, Eric?
Go ahead. No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Both of you are not industrious enough nor smart enough. If you were, here's the thing. You would actually spend the hours and hours it would take to get ahead. You think white people get ahead just because you wake up in the morning and all of a sudden it's there? No. You take a look at the people who are the so-called industrial magnates. They didn't do it. There are a lot of white people, of course, who get they get money bequeathed to them. I forgot the name. Heiresses and they get them bequeathed. But other than, you're nothing easy in America. You do it because of hard work. And if you have to do it harder because you're black, I never said that because of slavery, get over it. I am saying you've got 20, you got 40, 50 years since the Civil Rights Act to try to get your families together, yourselves together, to combat sexism, to combat racism. If you're not doing it well, too fucking bad, because there are a lot of people out here who are doing it. And if you're not doing it, I'm going to say, like I said at the beginning of the show, it must be because white people are superior, especially to you two. Now I'm finished.
Well, thank you. Finally, peace in the valley.
Well,
all right,
you know,
now
I don't usually take up 2 to 3 minutes, but
and
Jesus.
I would like to say, all right, Joe spoke on behalf of his race, and that's how he feels. Okay. And he's entitled
hey, Joe,
to his race about his superior. He's entitled to his superior race, and why I think he was talking about me.
I'm very well off. I see a lake outside my window, and Obama's in
my
neighbor.
And then I'm going to tell him about myself when you get there.
He's telling me how much of I'm not well engineered about things. He knows me well and everything. But Joe spoke for his race. All right, power to his people. Moving on. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. How many people do you employ, Joe?
I don't employ anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
he
employ.
He speaks for his race.
So only you.
I employ ten.
And I'm self-employed.
Right.
But I was speaking as for a whole, not just individuals,
and
that's great. We're doing
say,
well, Mr. Michigan, but as a whole, black people
as
a whole are not getting involved, you know.
Can I expose Joe real quick? Joe said on this airways, and he was honest with me, and he said this is how some white people think, and you got to respect him. He says whitey feels believe that their ancestors died, fought for this country, and they're not going to let no one take it over. And I'm saying, Joe, yes, you did. Joe, I will never allow this. Listen to me. Listen to me. You made this reference that whitey thinks that they died for this country, and they're not going to let, quote-unquote, black people, another race, take over their country. And that's that. Listen, but what I'm saying, Joe, no one is trying to talk about taking over this country. Right. But listen, if they have that philosophy, okay. But no one is saying that someone's going to take that over. But if a white person has that attitude, they may have prejudgment or this false sense of fear that when a black person may come in their environment, may be a little smarter than them, let that man get his shine, he's going to think it's taking over in that sense of that country. So that philosophy has pros and cons to it. That's all I'm saying, Joe. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm glad.
There's pros and cons to it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael, for those points of view. We have 15 minutes in the show, and there will be no overtime today, so it's time for y'all to get y'all last words in. And, of course, I know everybody needs their moments to get their last points in, and we're going to start with Pianki. You're up, sir. Your last words.
Well, I think somebody said, too, that blacks don't have access to capital to start up businesses. If you got a good business plan, you got the Minority Business Council, which is black businesses that came together to put pools of money in order to assist blacks to start up businesses, provide working capital. They would back you up to $300 up to $1 million. And I agree with Joe. If we continue to say that whites are holding you back, in many cases, in some cases, should I say, that is true. But the thing is, it's about competition. You got to compete with them. I don't blame whites, Asians, or nobody else for giving up what it is that they have attained, especially if they've attained it legally. But, you know, sometimes they don't. You got to compete against it. And there has been times in the history of the world when blacks led armies, military, the excursion has been just as notorious and just as deviant as some of the things that I've heard people quote about today. If you want to do it, do it. If you're not, step aside. And we talk about, you know, you say we keep mentioning these individuals, but individuals that after a period of time becomes groups, become cartels, working cartels with the same idea, the same focus, and they join together. If they don't want to participate in it, they won't participate in it. You come up with enough money together on any particular cause, you can be a determining and a competing factor also. You got African countries that are giving land to African Americans that don't show up. You got African summits going on talking about businesses that's doing business in Africa. African Americans don't show up in the numbers that they should. Now, that's not all of them, because I know some young brothers that's doing some wonderful things over on the African continent. Maybe we need to have them on here so they can tell how they're doing it too and what they think of this ghost, the white man, is going to stop me. Thank you, Mr. Eric.
All right. You're welcome, Pianki. And thank you. You have a great day. All right. Next up is Mr. Michigan. Mr. Michigan.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, brother. Yeah, just for clarity, I don't think
anyone on the phone mentioned that we didn't want to compete. I didn't hear anybody say don't compete. I didn't hear anybody say we should not, you know, organize ourselves. I think, you know, it's always funny when you're talking about social science, meaning group issues, and this entire country is ran off of science. But when it comes to the black experience, whenever you apply the social science and the statistics and the facts, you get bourgeoisie blacks who want to say, ah, that's hogwash. And then, of course, you know, I understand why whites do it. But, you know, so that we maintain clarity, this was never about black individual success. The entire conversation was about the structure of this country and who controls the levels of power and the distribution of the resources and the things that this culture has to offer. There is no question. There is no argument. This is a European culture. And, in fact, I don't blame them. I'm not mad at them. If I ran the culture, it would be my duty to make certain that I, you know, maintain it for myself and my posterity. So that was the original issue. It wasn't about individuals competing, which blacks are lazy, which blacks are succeeding. That's just I don't even know why Bianca brought that shit up. So just so we have that clarity, this was about, you know, us having a very good understanding of where we are, and that way when we do make moves, we make the most precise political and economic moves. That's the reason why you need to know where you are and the structure. And so that'll be my closing comments.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Michigan, as always. Great hearing from you, and we hope to see you tomorrow on Freedom Friday. All right. Next up is All Facts himself. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, wonderful conversation. I think when we have a topic about race, people shouldn't go come to the conversation, well, why are we talking about this? Because it's real. It's just, we're not saying that you should walk around. Listen, white people have helped me out in my life. I do not prejudge white people. I don't, because I know all of them are not the same. I mean, I know how, you know, I just be myself. And when it's time for me to call somebody out on something, it's going to be on their actions and their intentions and maybe what they may say. You know, you got a lot of people get watermelon jokes on lunch in the lunchroom. Believe that, on a lot of construction sites. You know, when we were talking about a black business doesn't necessarily mean that business is going to have mainly black employees. It's what the black business owner does with the money that or his profits. Does he invest in the black community, schools, and, you know, where does that business redirect their money or their profits? But how can we be balanced in this society, but I must say, Pionki, but with your attitude, firing people unfairly, and you're talking about it's competition. If it's competition, you want to be, you know, if a competition is in the game, everybody play by the rules. But when you're telling people doing it unfairly, it doesn't become competition. It becomes a bias, it's prejudgment, hatred, and people socially look at people. In order, I guess, you know, in order for me to make money with somebody, I have to socially like them first. If I want to see someone to achieve, I have to socially like something from. So social comes first, before money. That's a fact. How we look at each other, how we deal with each other. Having said that, Mr. Talker, and I'm not telling us to raise our kids in this country, now for you not to be ambitious, you can do that, we own this, not saying that. But when these things come awry, sometimes you have to look out, why didn't you get that job? Maybe you have to look and see how many black employees. Look at the affirmative action and technology. You have Jesse Jackson coming out and say, hold up, bro, something wrong. When we start having to have numbers, a lot of these companies don't keep numbers. They must keep numbers because of Martin Luther King, affirmative action, diversity. How can we do that? Equal opportunity. You must measure that. You must take numbers. So you have to identify yourself on these jobs to ensure diversity. So I think not all companies, but most of companies should look at the population. That's all I got to say. It was a great conversation, but be ambitious. You know, that's all I got to say.
All right, sir. Thank you once again. And I always appreciate you showing up, and we look forward to hearing from you tomorrow on Freedom Friday. All right, let's see. We got Chris in the house. Mr. Chris, yes. What you got for me?
Well, Mr. Talk, I thank you for accepting my call. They had a few hang-ups and anything like that. You was putting me back on. I appreciate you allowing me to have a place to come to and dialogue and speak with like-minded people and their views and opinions on America. And we had an opportunity to look at America from different standpoints of lifestyles, maybe venting anger, hostility. We happy. We in love with America. But we all have a place to come and say things, what's on our mind, and have differences. I really appreciate this opportunity. When the caller said that, yeah, black people are different, and we're always going to see, we're different in different things. This is true. But whenever you have black people in the black community to remind us how different we are, there's no different from white people not allowing us to have equality. I want to talk to my culture, my black people right now, okay? Whatever you hear, black people with a high adrenaline, of they're venting, they're scared because they see their opportunity is leaving. They don't have too much power here as it is, okay? America ain't worried about the black people in my community with the beer in their hand, smoking the blunts, having just a high school diploma, or running in and out of jail, not paying child support. They ain't worried about you, black people. You know, even though we need to get our stuff together, this is true. Whenever you got black people and white people only focusing on that side of us, they want to keep us as low as possible and keep reminding us of what we're not doing and what we came from, what we can never be, y'all, okay? America's not worried about people in the black community. They're worried about the brothers and sisters with the PhDs, the ones with the 17-year-old that just graduated from Chicago State University with a 4.0. That's what they're afraid of the population growing like that. Let's get our stuff together and step our game up, because there's enemies in the black community that want us to go nowhere, and there's enemies in white America that want us to go nowhere. Get yourself ready and get your mind right, y'all. You know, I'm not saying it's not good to have a good time and smoke your blunt or whatever, wear your pants and sag, whatever. But America's focusing on the negative on that. Okay, they don't see our children doing anything except becoming a modern day slave. Put us on jobs to work for them. You didn't graduate with this master's degree in communications, and now you're gonna work at Clear Channel at a front desk? No, we ain't about that life. Let's get our stuff together and step our game up, y'all. I love everyone on here. I'm happy to hear everybody, what they had to say. And enjoyed the show. Peace.
All right. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it. Let's see who we got. I see Joe done ran. Let's see if Joe want to get the last word in. All right, Joe, you want to get one last word in before I get out of here?
Oh, Jesus. Tried not to make it blacky whitey today, but you guys got me. It's down to blacky whitey anyway. My thing is that anytime there's a show about any neutral topic, it doesn't matter what it is, somebody's got to come in and make it blacky whitey. You can have a show about, I don't care, any current event, and Jesus, it's going to always be blacky whitey. You know, shows about Blackie Whitey are shows about Blackie Whitey. That's appropriate. But when you have a show, and when I say you, I'm not talking about you, Eric. I'm talking about the generic you. I'm talking about anybody having a show, Jesus, about any topic, and you get two or more black people showing up, forget it. It's always got to be about how white people done. Keep me down. Let's stick to the topic. And then when there's so many shows out here with Blackie Whitey and what Whitey's done, what Blackie couldn't do, that's fine. But Jesus, H. Jesus, do you always have to bring your personal issues into every freaking show? God. Okay, I'm done.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. Oh, Lord have mercy. And it wasn't supposed to be like that today, but that's where it went. Hey, I just let it flow. All right, co-host, what you got for me?
Oh, man, I love it. I enjoy and appreciate just the privilege and honor to be a part of this platform. It's one of the wonderful platforms where we can be passionate about, you know, a variety of different things, and we can respectfully disagree and still at the end of the day not have personal issues with each other, which I believe is a beautiful example to the world. You know, one of the things that was that's very always interesting to me is that I heard a variety of you know, very very intelligent, great communicators, successful in their own right individuals speaking on issues. And they were honest. And one thing about truth, you know, truth holds you accountable at the end of the day. Truth holds you accountable. And one of the beautiful things about truth is that you can look all the way to the past and you look to the present day. One of the things that hasn't changed is individual examples of success. You know, we've always been successful. Slavery, we were successful. And even in the midst of shackles and chains, you see historical documentation of us being successful, still creating wealth some way, somehow, as slaves. Fresh out of slavery, we were successful. Had a variety of people that were wealthy and were able to accumulate wealth, groups of people, because I heard when you see individuals generate wealth, it turns into groups. But you also saw examples historically that are documented. This is truth that bears witness of examples of systematic oppression, systematic racism, things that were done to diffuse, to eliminate, to stop competition, to make sure that competition wasn't on an even foot, because we were so dominant, and because to this day we're so good at what we do that in the midst of our barriers, we still achieve things. I see a lot of people still achieving things, and the people that were speaking, like I said, these are people who are succeeding. So obviously, they're not speaking out of bitterness because they've done what they needed to do. They're successful in their own rights. So if anything, they're definitely not going to be bitter. But what they're doing is also being empathetic, also being compassionate enough to acknowledge that for us as a whole, on a broader, from a broader scale, when you look at it from a broader perspective and a macro, not a micro level, you will notice that there is a significant difference between people when you cross color lines. It's always been that way, and it hasn't changed. And when you find that truth, and that, you know, it's you can argue against it, but truth is truth. It never changes. And that's all I have to say. I wish everybody a joyous and peaceful day and that they enjoy their weekend as well, because I won't see you guys again until, you know, when I come back.
All right. Thank you, sir. And I do appreciate it. And once again, thank you once again for, hey, coming on, getting on back in and working with me. All right. Whew, man, I tell you, it's been a good one. It has been a good one. I'm not going to say anything, because I said at the beginning of the show, I stand by, and there's no need for me to say anything else or add anything different to it, because what I said, you know. And I'll say it again one last time. You know, if you out there, whoever you are, if you out there, whoever you are, and only thing you want to be is equal, let me say that again. If whoever you are out there and the only thing you want to be is equal, you may want to rethink your strategy. Yeah, equal will get you even with whoever you're trying to be equal with, but what happens when they leave? They move on. You still stuck at what you were calling equal. You may be happy with that. I'm always shooting for better. I'm shooting for I'm not even going. I'm shooting for the farthest galaxy there is. That's what I'm doing. So, in other words, I'm not shooting just to be as good as the next Blog Talk Radio host or just as good. I'm shooting to be the best there is, the best there has ever been. And I understand it may take me a while to get there, but as long as I have the drive and the foresight, I will get there. And I will be better than everyone else. I'm not trying to be equal. Hell, talk I said I wasn't going to say you nothing. See, y'all got me started. Equal is like defeat to me. I want more than equal. And that's what y'all should be striving for. All right. Well, that's it for me. Tomorrow, y'all, we got Freedom Friday. I know we were supposed to get the chemtrails and all that today. And I do apologize that we didn't get there. But as I said, it was one of those days where something else hit the spirit and we just had to go with it. But tomorrow's Freedom Friday. So if any of you want to bring it up, hey, bring it up. We can talk about it. I have no issues with that at all. Once again, I want to thank everybody who participated in the show today. Chris, Cloud Nation, Pianki, Michael, Joe, Mr. Michigan, everybody who listened via your little your equipment, you know, that I didn't get to see. Everybody in my chat room, once again, thank y'all very much. I do appreciate it. I love y'all. Just don't forget, as I mentioned before, you can reach me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions, or Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. You know, you go by there and drop a 9 to me also. And don't forget, stop by audibletrial.com/letstalk and check out and get your free audio book. Just sign up for a free 30-day trial. And no obligations after that 30 days is over with. You don't want to do it no more. Just, hey, counsel or don't worry about it. But, you know, support the show. That's all I can say. That's how you support. So be your support besides coming to the show. All right. Once again, it's been fun, y'all. Tomorrow, 3 p.m. Central. No, I'm sorry, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio and brought to you by audibletrial.com/Let's Talk. For me and my co-host Cloud Nation Radio, y'all have a great one. We're going to take y'all out of here with the Four Tops like I promised, and we'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.
Gone, gone, gone. Bye-bye.